from Bobby Little, and into something called Midnight Hour from a sampler called Going Down South. Before Bobby Little, we heard from Mighty Joe Young from his release Mighty Man, came out on Blind Pig CDs back in 1997. That's Got My Mind on My Woman from Mighty Joe Young. All right, up next, let's hear from Wynonie Harris. This is called Good Morning, Mr. Blues. Wynonie Harris here on the Deep Blues Hour.
Well, when I woke up this morning, the blues was walking out my door. When I woke up this morning, blues was walking out my door. I said goodbye, Mr. Blues. Yes, I'm so glad you got to go. What I mean. Yes, if you ever been in love, baby, you know just what I mean. Well, you wanna live lovely, and life ain't just what it seems. shed. Every time I go down Home Street, I just about go insane.
Skirt Blues, recorded in 1968 on a Earwig release entitled At Home, there from Little Brother Montgomery. Floyd Dixon joined us as well from his Aladdin record recordings. That was I'm So Worried. Up next, let's hear from Mr. Lightnin' Hopkins, recording for the Gold Star record label. This is called The Unsuccessful Blues. Lightnin' Hopkins here on the Deep Blues Hour.
You know, I went down to my boss man's house. That's where everybody was getting paid. You know my wife's been out there and taking a ball. in this world that I'll meet. You know, I turned around and went back home with my mouth all poked out. She even had nerve enough to run up the door asking Lightning, what is this bull calling all about? And I told her, can't be successful. Darling, no matter how I try. Lord, I can't be successful. Baby, no matter how I try. Yes, but I believe I'll get lucky one day, one day. Long before I die. Yes, you know, every time I look at that woman, she looking at me looking curious. You know I would break at her, but she's built up kind of like Joe Louis. I can't be successful. Lord, no matter how I try. Yeah, but I hope I'll get a love, yeah, love. One day before I die.
Go home, bitch. Tell your mother and your father I'm a little schoolboy too. Woke up this morning, woke up this morning, I didn't know what to do, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have no blues, baby, but I couldn't be sad or fine. I'm getting my airplane, getting my airplane, getting my airplane. Gonna fly all over, gonna fly all over this land. I'm gonna find my little schoolgirl, find her in the woods somewhere. Good morning, little schoolgirl. Good morning, little schoolgirl. Can I go home? Can I go home? Can I go home with you? Tell your mother and your father, Johnny the little schoolboy too. Come be my baby, come be my baby. I'll buy you a diamond, I'll buy you a diamond ring. You don't be my little baby, I ain't gonna buy you a doggone thing. Yes, yeah. Can I go home with, can I go home with you? Tell your mother and your father I'm a little schoolboy too.
Music from John Lee Hooker right there. That's his classic, Good Morning Little Schoolgirl, recorded 1960 on a Riverside release called The Country Blues of John Lee Hooker. Lucille Spann also joined us there with a little something called Love with a Feeling. I'm sure you heard that before from a Capitol release of Chicago Blues featuring Lucille Spann, among others. The alternative radio program provides information, analyses, and views that are frequently ignored or distorted in corporate media, and it airs Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. here on WRCT. Plus, your eyes are the windows to your health. Schedule an eye exam to see if you're one of the 11 million Americans who has a common vision problem that can be easily corrected. Remember, healthy eyes make for a healthier you. For more information, visit www.nei.nih.gov/healthy-eyes. A message from the National Eye Institute at the National Institutes of Health and WRCT Pittsburgh. All right, up next, we're going to hear from Mr. Johnny Shines, some fine old traditional blues from 1972. This is called Arguing and Boodling. Johnny Shines here on the Deep Blues Hour.
Shoot my woman just to see her fall. Now she don't want to do nothing but booting on the team.
Bye, sweet.
Come back some sweet days. Bye bye, sweet mama. Baby, want you by and by. You may go, you may stay, but she'll come back some sweet days. Bye bye. Come back, so sweet day. Bye bye, sweet mom. Baby, want you by your mouth.
Well, there we have music from Mr. Charlie Patton. From his complete recordings made back in the late 20s, early 30s, that was Poor Me by Charlie Patton. Plus, we heard from Leadbelly, Huddy Leadbetter, that is, from his 1948 recording called Gallus Pole, out through a Smithsonian Folkways CD entitled Bourgeois Blues, there from Leadbelly. Should pull up a chair. It's breakfast for dinner. DJ Chris Wired serves up an audio feast of melodious harmonies and harmonic melodies. Power pop, punk, jangle pop, psychedelic, anything that feeds the mind. It's air Saturday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. only on WRCT 88.3 FM and streaming live at WRCT.org. And every 8 minutes, the American Red Cross brings help and hope to people in need. Thanks to the support of everyday heroes like you, the Red Cross is able to respond to disasters big and small, support military families, help ensure that blood is available when needed, and teach life-saving skills like CPR and first aid. Be a hero. Donate today. Visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. All right, up next, we're going to hear from Mr. Texas Bill Day and Billiken Johnson performing together the Elm Street Blues from the release Dallas Alley Drag. Texas Bill Day and Billiken Johnson here on the Deep Blues Hour.
And brass, Main Street paint and gold. Adam Street paint and brass, Main Street paint and gold. I got a good girl live on East Commerce. I wouldn't miss her to save nobody's soul. Women don't mean you no good. Ah, Billiken, these Allen Street women don't mean you no good. I know. your back this time, and with every man in the neighborhood. Billigan, they don't mean you no good. These Harlem street women, Billigan, they don't mean you no good. If you want to make a good woman, have to get out on High School Avenue.
Oh, Lord, that Billy did. baby gone, let's look what a hole in his head.
Mr. John Jackson and I Bring My Money from 1967 recording from our Hooli Records from his release Don't Let Your Deal Go Down. John Jackson right there. We also heard from Hogman Maxi from 1959. Stagger Lee off the Angola Prisoner's Blues Collection featuring Hogman Maxi. Well, up next, let's hear from Little Milton. But first, here is Charles Brown and his band. This is called Black Night here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Nobody cares about me, ain't even got a friend. Baby's gone and left me, when will my troubles end? Black night is falling, oh, I hate to be alone. I keep crying for my baby, but now another day is gone. I've got no one to talk with, to tell my troubles to. Don't even know I'm living since I lost you. Is falling, oh, I hate to be alone. I keep crying for my baby, but not another day is gone. troubles, my father has his too. My brother's in Korea, and I don't know just what to do. Black night is falling. Oh, I hate to be alone. I keep crying for my baby, but my another day is gone. Shake my head and walk away, walk away. Sometimes I want to stay here, and again I want to leave. Sometimes I want to leave here, and again I want to stay. Just can't make my mind up. I shake my head and walk away. Walk away. I'm trying to tell you people, tell you just how I feel. Yeah. I'm trying to tell you people.
That myth of cowboy individualism became central to the culture of Republican politics. From 1981 to 2021, Republican policies moved more than $50 trillion from the bottom 90% of Americans to the top 1%. And the party stayed in power through media disinformation, voter suppression, gerrymandering, and the flood of money into politics. Those systemic changes to the political system in the United States moved the Republican Party farther and farther and farther right. And the rhetoric of cowboy individualism, as it did so, became more and more extreme.
That's Heather Cox Richardson, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamian. This edition of AR features Heather Cox Richardson on cowboy authoritarianism in America. We are at an inflection point. A chill is sweeping the country. We ignore it at our peril. The warning signs are everywhere. Alaska GOP Senator Lisa Murkowski says, "We are all afraid." Massachusetts Democratic Governor Maura Healey says, "The fear is real." New York Times columnist Marsha Gessen writes, "America's police state has arrived." Dissent is being criminalized. People are being deported without due process. Court rulings are being ignored. Democracy, civil liberties, and free speech are all under attack. What can be done to reverse cowboy authoritarianism in America? Our guest today is Heather Cox Richardson. She's professor of history at Boston College. She previously taught at MIT. Her newsletter, Letters from an American, reaches more than a million readers. She spoke at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver on April 10, 2025. The moderator is UBC Professor Heidi Twarick. And now, Heather Cox Richardson.
I wanted to talk today about what's happening in the United States and to address this question of what it means to be an American in 2025. I'm going to argue today that the crisis in today's United States is the logical outcome of 40 years of a Republican ideology that was based in the idea of cowboy individualism. That idea has directed American politics since 1980, at least, when President Ronald Reagan wrote it to the White House. Those people who embrace cowboy individualism believe that a true American is a man who operates on his own, outside the community. He needs nothing from the government. He works hard to support himself. He protects his wife and his children, and he asserts his will by dominating others. That ideology is rooted in the mythological image of the American cowboy who began to drive cattle from the border of Texas and Mexico north across the plains to army posts and railheads in 1866. That image sprang to prominence in the years immediately after the Civil War, and in that peculiar moment, it took on a specific anti-government meaning, a political meaning. The Civil War government in the United States set out to protect black Americans from persecution by their white neighbors in the American South. In 1868, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution guaranteed equal protection of the laws to formerly enslaved people. And then 2 years later, in 1870, Congress created the Department of Justice to prosecute those people who attacked black Americans because of their race. So with the federal government suddenly willing to prosecute racial discrimination, former Confederates turned their racial animosity into an economic argument. Beginning in 1871, they claimed that the government's effort to protect civil rights was tantamount to socialism, because the government officials it required to protect black Americans cost tax dollars. And those tax dollars could only come from hardworking white men in the years after the Civil War. And they were providing that money to provide benefits for undeserving, they said, black people. Southern Democrats after the war contrasted that government socialism, as they called it, with the image of the American cowboy, who in their view was a young white man who wanted nothing from the government but to be left alone. The cowboy in their view was hardworking, he was good with a gun, and he dominated the women and the racial minorities he encountered in the West. That myth countered the idea that the government should protect all Americans equally. The cowboy image actually faded in the early 20th century progressive era, which is itself an interesting story, but it sprang back to prominence in the 1950s and the 1960s as a propaganda tool to oppose the wildly popular post-World War II government. That government reflected the idea that government had a role to play in regulating business, in providing a basic social safety net, in promoting infrastructure, and in protecting civil rights. And those people who were determined to get rid of government regulation and taxation resurrected the myth of the American cowboy, and they championed this idea of cowboy individualism. They embraced the idea that a government that worked for ordinary Americans was a form of socialism, because it redistributed wealth from hardworking white people to black Americans, people of color, and women who demanded equal rights. The Republicans nominated Arizona Senator Barry Goldwater, who was famous for his cowboy persona and his white cowboy hat and his opposition to the post-war government. They nominated him for president. And then, of course, in 1980, Ronald Reagan put aside his British riding clothes, put on a Western cowboy hat, and rode that ideology to the White House. That myth of cowboy individualism became central to the culture of Republican politics as a way for Republican politicians to convince voters to support the destruction of federal government programs that actually benefited them. From 1981 to 2021, Republican policies moved more than $50 trillion from the bottom 90% of Americans to the top 1%. And the party stayed in power through media disinformation, voter suppression, gerrymandering, and the flood of money into politics. Those systemic changes to the political system in the United States moved the Republican Party farther and farther and farther right. And the rhetoric of cowboy individualism, as it did so, became more and more extreme. They demonized non-white Americans and women in the public sphere, and they dismissed all government policies that promoted social cooperation, whether at home or abroad. And in place of the post-World War II idea of cooperation among equals, they replaced that idea with the idea that individual men should dominate society, ordering it as they thought best. Over time, white men rejected the socialization and the education that would enable them to rise to prosperity or to develop meaningful relationships. That domination to which they turned at the heart of cowboy individualism grew increasingly apparent in the United States after 1992, when the modern militia movement took off after a standoff at Ruby Ridge, Idaho, between federal marshals and a former factory worker named Randy Weaver, who had failed to show up to court for a trial on a firearms charge, convinced a number of Western men that they had to arm themselves to fight off the government. By the early 2000s in the U.S., gun ownership first became a symbol of cultural identity, and then it became a way to groom younger people into Republican political ideology. This is why we see political leaders posing with their families holding AR-15s on Christmas cards. The Trump administration has taken cowboy individualism now to an extreme, I believe, gutting the U.S. government and centering power in a dominant president, while also pulling the United States out of the web of international organizations that have stabilized the globe since World War II. The administration began its run in 2025 by firing the women and the racial and gender minorities who held positions in the government. But it is not just exercising domination over others. It is reveling in that dominance and advertising it, especially over the migrants it has sent to prison in El Salvador, showing films of them being transported in chains and displaying caged prisoners behind Homeland Security Kristi Noem, who in those photographs and in that film is wearing a $50,000 gold Rolex watch. In place of cooperation, the Trump administration's determination to exercise its dominance shows, I think, in its plan to invest $1 trillion in the military, after gutting the U.S. Agency for International Development, also known as USAID. Trump has always seen power as a zero-sum game in which for one party to win, others must lose. If, in fact, Trump succeeds in asserting his dominance over the United States of America and over the globe, the Republicans will have succeeded in replacing American democracy with a dictatorship, and they will have rebalanced global power. But you know, with me, there's always a but, right? Those who believe in that ideology of cowboy individualism have not yet established that autocracy that is their end game. In large part, because that cowboy ideology is a myth. It has never reflected reality. And right now, MAGA Republicans are watching in real time as their president, Donald Trump, lumps them in with the minorities and people of color they believed were inferior to them. The government programs that Republicans are calling wasteful are not just the ones that supported racial minorities. They are the ones that supported MAGA Republicans. Cowboy individualism was always a myth. It never represented the United States of America. It didn't even represent the cowboys, one-third of whom were black or were men of color, and whose employment actually replicated the low pay and dangerous conditions of Eastern factory workers. In fact, the American West was a multicultural world in which the key to surviving and even prospering was not dominating other people, it was kinship ties and communities. Famous Western trader Kit Carson, for example, often lionized as the real hero of cowboy individualism, spoke English, Spanish, a number of indigenous languages, and was married three times, two times to an indigenous woman, and then to a Mexican woman. When Eastern settlers moved west, they depended on communities to enable them to survive disasters because, for example, every single farm would lose a barn to fire at some point, and you needed to have people for barn raising. That focus on communities in the American West gave the United States of America grassroots political movements, which were named, after all, for the prairie grasses, whose roots can go as deep as 3.5 meters. Those movements included the late 19th century Alliance Movement and the populist movements in the late 19th century that reordered American politics. Central to those movements, those grassroots movements, were the Western women who organized to fund churches and to fund schools and who drove Western politics. For example, when the Western state of Iowa added murals to its state house in 1908 to portray the modern government, the duties of defense, charities, education, and the executive, legislative, and the judiciary, it illustrated those aspects of modern American government, all except defense and legislature, it portrayed them as women. The contrast between the myth of cowboy individualism and the reality of life in the American West matters because they represent two very different versions of the American government. Iowa's depiction of the modern government as support for an inclusive society in which women took full part was part of a larger movement in the early 20th century to change the nature of American government itself. Key to that change was social worker Frances Perkins, which is why you've been hearing so much about her from me lately. As a settlement house worker, she saw firsthand what economists will tell you today, that modern industrialization could not survive without the labor and the participation of the entire community, not just male factory workers, who were actually paid lower than survival wages. Later, when she witnessed the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in 1911, Perkins